Okay, praise the Lord. Welcome everybody that's online. Let's get started. Watch with the video with your friends. Let's start a watch party. Very good. I just did that. We are in the lesson that I adore, and I'll tell you why I love it. Mainly because I've watched too many believers live what I call the roller coaster ride with Jesus. What is the roller coaster ride with Jesus? One minute they're very successful, the next minute they're not. One minute they're blessed, the next minute they feel cursed. One minute they're in faith, the next minute they're in doubt. They're just on this constant flow of roller coaster. And I want you to know that is never God's will. Say that out loud. It is never God's will. I do want to say this before we get going too much. Step two class is starting, I believe, in 2 weeks. Okay? So it'll be spiritual warfare. Okay? Very good. So, it's important that we recognize God does not want you on this roller coaster ride with Jesus. God wants you stable. Now, we know the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Everybody knows what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit or the personality of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Everybody say temperance. What's temperance? Even temper. Very good. It's an evenness. It's a straight across the line. God's plan for you is not this. God's plan for you is this. No matter what good is happening or bad is happening, we walk by faith and not by sight. A lot of people even walk by sight when things are going well, and then their emotions will rise. Now, God gave us emotions, but when you and I base our faith on good and or bad, then we're not basing it on the word, we're basing it on our circumstances. So whether things are good or bad doesn't really matter. What matters is, what does the word say? If the word says we're healed, then we are. Whether the doctor says we're healthy or the doctor says we're sick, the fact is we're healed not because of what the doctor says, but because of what the because of what the word says. When you start learning that, then learning how to live successful is absolutely available to you. And I don't know about you, I don't want to live the roller coaster ride. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Yes, it's no fun. It's no fun because you're all over the place. God wants you to be stable, but stability can only come when there are absolutes. What is an absolute? Something that's constant, something you can base solidity upon. Our absolute is what? That's right. That is our absolute. That's why the enemy works so hard to keep you out of the Word of God, because if he can keep you out of the Word, he can keep you out of the absolutes. If he can keep you out of the absolutes, then he has you according to your emotions and according to your circumstances, which means you are on the roller coaster ride with Jesus. And you are going to get tired. The thrills are great, but the lows are lows. God wants you to be stable all the way across. Amen or oh my. So tonight, we talked a little bit about it last week, about mankind. Animals are dichotomous. Everybody say dichotomous, which means they have two parts. What are the two parts of an animal? Well, they have a body. Everybody will agree that an animal has a body. Yes. You hope they have a body. You can't pet something that doesn't have a body. Animals have a body, and animals have a soul. What is a soul? An intellect, an emotion, and a will. How many of you know that dogs have emotions? Dogs have a will. Yes? Dogs can think. Amen? All of that shows that an animal has a soul and a body. Man, you've heard people say for years, well, we're just another animal on the planet. That is a lie. We were not created like animals. We were created in the image of God. As humans, we are trichotomous. Everybody say trichotomous. Everybody online say trichotomous. Come on now. Stay with the program. So trichotomous means you are a spirit. Shout, I am a spirit. That has a soul that lives in a body. Say it again. I am a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. That is who you are. The real you is not your physical body. That's not going to last forever. Yeah, I mean, it's here. It's here, just not long. It's nothing more than just an encasement. The real you is your spirit and your soul. So the challenge is, if you walk in the spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The challenge of mankind in Christianity, in living for God, is learning how to bring your life into order. So many of us live in chaos on a constant basis. What is chaos? Chaos is the lack of order. Where there is no order, there is only chaos available. So if you are going to live successful in your walk with God, you're going to live successful in your relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to be a person of consistency. Consistency is everything. Say it with me. Consistency is everything. Come on online. I want to hear you. Consistency is everything. This is the challenge, isn't it? Being consistent. But you cannot be consistent if you don't know how you're made. Now, I just want to confess to you that if I take an engine apart, it is never getting back together again, ever. It doesn't matter if I number the bolts. It is not going back together. Now, Richie, he doesn't have a choice but to be somewhat of a mechanic. He's a farmer. Something breaks, you got to fix it. Something breaks when I'm a farmer, call somebody. Because I ain't fixing it. Not because I'm lazy, but because I'm not like, okay, this works this and this works this and this. My brain doesn't work that way. And so what happens is, spiritually, if you don't understand how you work, then how can you work how you live? And this is the challenge of walking before the Lord, is learning how God created you as a trichotomous being, and then learning how to walk in the ways of God so that you can live without living in the flesh, being your soulish man, but living in the spirit and fulfilling God's will for your life. Everybody, God has a will for you. That's why you're here. God has a specific purpose for your life. But majority of believers will never fulfill their purpose in life. And it's not because they're not nice people. It's not because they don't love God. But they've never been taught how to control their soul, how to bring their body into subjection, how to bring order out of chaos so that they can listen to the Spirit. For these are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. You can't be led by the Spirit of God if you're being controlled by your soul. So learning this is everything. You cannot live successful in your walk with God without this. Without this, this is what's happening. It is the roller coaster. One day great things are happening. Woohoo, I've got victory in Jesus, my Savior. Next day, hell starts licking your toes. Oh God, where are you? I don't understand. One minute, man, you're healthy as an ox. The next minute, you're struggling in your health. And man, all of a sudden, everything seems to collapse around you. Why is it collapsing around you? Well, because you're basing your entire belief system on what a doctor tells you, not what the Word tells you. We are called to be believers. Are you not called a believer? What are you believing in? What are you believing in? That is the key. Because if you don't believe in the Word, then you cannot have consistency. And if you aren't bringing your flesh into subjection, then your emotions are running your life. And you are out of control. So, we're going to talk about that. Is that okay? Is that all right? Is that all right online? Right there, there you are. I'm looking down, but that's you right there. Down here says your name. Up there says hi. Okay? So if you have your book, this is the yellow book, chapter 5. If you're in the blue book, you can just look up the trichotomy of man. Chapter 5 still? Chapter 5 in the blue book or chapter 5 in the yellow book? If you don't have a yellow book, I don't even know if we have yellow books. We don't have yellow books. They're on order. So I want to remind you that this coming Sunday, I'm asking you to be in the house of God. Our bishop is coming into town. So your attendance is not just honor to me, but your attendance this Sunday is honor to the bishop. So I would encourage you to be honorable this Sunday. If you have to cancel something, cancel something. I ask you to be honorable to your pastor and honorable to our bishop. Let's fill the house. Amen. And then on Monday, next Monday, it starts Empower Summit. Pastor Jim Raley will be here out of Ormond Beach, Florida, next Monday night. Whoa, baby, hang on for the ride. It is amazing. He is a phenomenal pastor, pastors a church of 3,500 and has multiple campuses. One of the campuses alone in Orlando is 600. And God is using him all over the nation. So he'll be here next Monday night. Now, as a person of his tabernacle, the day classes are more for pastors, but the evening is open to everybody. It is $29 if you want to come. So $29 if you want to come. You can get on empoweringpastors.com and register, or register, I believe, at the desk on Sunday morning. But you don't, or you can come in that night and register. You don't want to miss this. Night two will be Bishop Rick Thomas. Night three, I'll be preaching, and the topic is going to be Holy Ghost and fire. So the whole week is on reviving and getting you fired back up for Jesus and getting you aligned into the things of God. So I want to encourage you to be here for those things. So next Tuesday, there is not rock solid faith. Okay? It is the Empower Summit. Okay, so turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We touched this verse last week, and it says this. Then God said, let us, we talked about Elohim, the three in one, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet. Come on now, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet. One, the trichotomy of man. We are in the image, or the likeness is the Hebrew word, of God. For God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And we know that the likeness of God is Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet one. And humanity is spirit, soul, and body, being created in the image of God. So in the image of God, which is very powerful, we know that God is a spirit. The real you is a spirit. That is really who you are. You are a spiritual man and a spiritual woman. That's the difference between us and animals. Animals are not spirit. Only man is spirit. We were created in God's image. John chapter 4, verse 24. And God said he is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now we know, according to the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing. Everybody say dividing. Of the soul and the spirit, and the bone and the marrow, body, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So spirit, soul, and body is not a man's concept. It's biblically penetrated all the way back in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So we see that man, God breathed into man, and he became a living soul. Up to that point, he had a body. Come on now, God created him out of the dust. He was there, but yet he was not alive. Life did not come until the Spirit breathed spirit into man. That is what makes us different from all the other creatures of the earth. That is why we are special. Why are we special? We're created in his image. So God says that there is a division between a spirit, a soul, and a body. We also see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you and I are spirit. Shout, I'm a spirit. The real you is your spiritual man. That's what's going to live for all of eternity, is your spirit man. The Bible says, if you die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, that means our physical bodies gets buried in the ground, but yet our spiritual man lives for eternity. And here we are as people that are eternal. Every human being on this planet is eternal. Every one of us. Doesn't matter if you like them or you hate them. Every single person is eternal. And they make a decision through the acceptance or the rejection of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether their spirit man will be alive and or dead. The word of God is clear that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that your spirit man is dead. So you have a spirit, but your spirit is not alive in Christ. Now, why is your spirit important? Because God is a spirit, so God's relationship and God's connection to mankind is not through your physical body, but only through your spiritual man. So Adam and Eve, the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, verse 8, I heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Every day, man walked with God. Every day, Adam, who was a spirit that was not tarnished, a spirit that was pure, a spirit that was holy. Remember what God said, be ye holy for I am holy. God is holy. And holiness means a separation from sin. There was no sin in Adam and Eve. So they could walk with God in the cool of the day. But what happened is, because they chose to sin, because they chose to breach and disobey, because they chose to do as they willed instead of what God willed. Now that shows that God gave them not only a spirit, but a soul. Because they had the choice to choose their will over God's will. And when they did that, they became tarnished. Now what happened when they became tarnished? When your spirit man has sin in it, it no longer can be directly in the presence of God. So what did Adam and Eve do? Well, the Bible says that they realized that they were naked. And so they ran away and they hid themselves from God. Sin will always make you hide yourself from God. Just recently, somebody was telling me, they had somebody they were bringing to church and they said they didn't like to come because they felt worse every time when they left. And he says, because you got sin in your life. You see, when you're in the presence of the Lord, if you have sin in your life, the Holy Spirit brings conviction to bring you around for restoration. Because your spirit man, when it's not right with God, God cannot allow you to be where he is. The presence of the Lord is holy. And you and I, when our spirit man is dead in Christ, we're not alive in Christ, then what's happened is simply this. We cannot go to heaven. Remember that everybody has sinned, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen? Anybody here not sinned before? Well, that's why, all right, the Bible would simply say that you're a liar. That's right, 1 John chapter 1 says, if you say you have not sinned, you're a liar. Everybody has sinned, for all have sinned. Because we have sinned, it's called the Adamic nature. Because Adam and Eve sinned, their nature now came to us. Thank God for Adam and Eve, right? You know, thank the Lord. Because of their sin, we now have sin in our lives, and we have to make a conscious choice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. In the garden, the very first animals that were killed, there were no animals ever killed. Remember, he named all the animals on the planet? None of them ever died until sin came on the planet. The Bible declares in the book of Genesis 3:21, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord, God made tunics of skin and clothed them. That was the very first death of an animal because blood had to be shed to cover the sins of Adam and Eve. You'll notice I didn't say wash away sin, I said cover sin. So when a person does not know Jesus as their Savior, their sin nature, their spiritual man is dead to Christ. That's why when people come and say, I can't believe how this world is getting so evil. What do you mean you can't believe that? That is one of the dumbest statements. Why is that? Because sinners do what sinners do. Are you shocked when a sinner steals? No. Are you shocked when a sinner swears? No. Are you shocked when a sinner goes out and kills? No. Are you shocked when a sinner deceives? No. Are you shocked? No, I'm not shocked when a sinner does anything. Why? That's their nature. That's who they are. Why are you shocked when a sinner does what a sinner does? Now, if a person's calling themselves a believer and is living a life of sin, well, that's a different story. Then you've got to ask, what's going on in your life? Don't judge me. No one has to judge you. You judge yourself. Come on now. Bible says judge the tree. The tree is easy. If you say you got apples, but you're bearing, you're bearing dead fruit, well, then the tree's probably dead. Say amen or oh my. So the spirit man is dead without the blood of Jesus. The Bible says very clearly, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and according to the law, almost all things are purified through blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness. Ephesians 2, 1, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, 5, even when we were dead in trespasses. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So what happens is when you're not saved, your spirit man, even though you're trichotomous, you are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body, your spirit man is dead when you do not know Christ. Now, I want to remind you, somebody has to pay for those sins. Jesus already paid for them. But if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God sends no one to the lake of fire. You send yourself because you've chosen to pay for your own sins instead of accepting what Jesus already paid for. That's good right there. If you get nothing out of that class, that's a good one. So the Bible says when a person receives Jesus, their heart and their spirit comes alive. So there is life that literally happens. How many of you, when you got saved, literally everything changed in your life? Amen. You knew you got saved. No one had to show up. Jesus didn't have to show up in bunny shoes. You know, you knew God touched your life. God changed your life. There was a transition in your life. You know, you weren't perfect. If you're married, you can turn to your spouse now and say amen. You know, you're not perfect, but there's change, there's transition because you become alive to Christ. Romans 3, 23 through 25, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption or forgiveness that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth in the propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness because of his forbearance, God has passed over the sins which were previously committed. Romans 5, 8 through 10, but God demonstrated, by shout demonstrated. That's what I love about God. When God says he loves you, he doesn't say it. He demonstrates it. Amen. Which means it's an outward manifestation you can see. But God demonstrated his love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we were saved through the wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled. For if when we were enemies, which means you were not alive in Christ, you were a sinner, you were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, you have been saved by his life. So the moment you get saved, your spirit man comes alive, which means now, literally, you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Turn to someone and say, I am possessed. That's right. Now, I want to make sure that you get that. It's not just a statement. It is not just a little cliche we say. The Bible says you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. The way your spirit man came alive is because the Holy Spirit, Genesis chapter 1, who brooded over the earth at creation, now literally lives inside of you. So God, by his Holy Spirit, literally possesses your spiritual man. That is very important to get in your heart. Have you accepted Jesus into your heart? I'm not sure. That's not the heart. The heart is your spiritual man. And you know your spiritual man because when you ever feel conviction, it's being convicted in your spiritual man. When you got saved, you became alive, it's because your spiritual man became alive. You are now alive in Christ. No longer dead to your sin. You are alive in Christ. Now, that's your spirit. So everybody's got a spirit. Say, everybody's got a spirit. Your spirit's either alive or dead. That's all it is. If you're born again, your spirit man's alive. If you're not born again, your spirit man is dead. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, if your spirit man is dead, then you are following after your father. I'll just read it to you. Ephesians chapter 2. Turn there with me real quick. Ephesians chapter 2. Come on now. Ephesians chapter 2. And you were made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So when you weren't saved, you literally were a Luciferian. What does that mean? You are a son of Satan, a daughter of Satan. Well, I've never danced around a pentagram naked sacrificing animals. No, I have not. But it doesn't matter. What ultimately you've done is you've submitted your life to Lucifer. You've submitted your life to the father of disobedience. You've submitted your life to the opposite of who God is. So when you're not following Christ, when you're not living for Christ, you're living for the enemy. And you are his property. Remember, you're either God's property or you're the devil's property. You can't be your own property. Sorry. You might think you're in control of your own life, but you are crazy because it only takes a millisecond to realize real quickly how out of control your life actually is. God is the one who brings consistency to your life. So you are a spirit. Shout, I'm a spirit. Shout, I have a soul. What is a soul? The soul is the intellect, how we think and how we understand. Somebody said, well, you know, I think as a Christian, we hang our brains on the hat rack. God never told you to surrender your brain. God gave you a brain. In fact, the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. The Word of God says, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. God made you brilliant. Amen. God gave you smarts. Amen. God did not make us robots. Amen. God did not make us clones. Amen. All of us think different. How many of you are artists in the room? You think different. How many of you are musicians in the room? You definitely think different. Amen. Musicians think completely different. They work off a different side of their brain. Ladies work off a different side of their brain than men work off a different. We're different. Our minds are created different. If you have never read, and I would strongly encourage you to do that, I did a study on a Tuesday in the leadership training course with Dr. Carolyn Leaf. I would strongly encourage you to get any of her material. In fact, I believe you can go on YouTube, Dr. Carolyn Leaf, and she does studies of the brain. That's what her job is. She studies the brain, the physical brain of mankind. And she compares it what happens with what happens when you are into the Word and when you're born again. Literally, your brain changes physically. How you think, how your intellect works, changes physically your brain. It is amazing when you study the physiology of mankind and how you think. You either create healthy thought trees or you create craggly, old, nasty thought trees. And it's amazing how physically your brain, 98% of all sicknesses and diseases are attached to how you think. Not genetics. It's how you think. Dr. Carol Leaf breaks it all down into quantum physics for you. I'm not going to do that because that is not my gift. But I will tell you, God gave you a brain. And also, God gave you emotions. How many of you have emotions? How many of you are less emotional in your outward mode? How many of you just don't? How many of you are not criers? You're a crier? Are you a crier? Come on now. Yeah. You'd be more of a crier. There's nothing wrong with that. Real men cry. I just don't cry often. Amen? Yeah, real men cry. How many of you are ladies in the room? Please raise your hands if you're women. Amen. Ladies are more emotional. That's how God created you. That's not bad. That's how God created you. Because men need balance. Can I hear an amen? Men need balance. You know, the other day I was watching a show and I watched a 35-year-old man. There were three people together and this guy felt like he was like, you know, not part of their group. So he went and he started weeping out loud. Oh, they don't like me. I'm thinking emotional. It's amazing when you recognize your emotions, How many of you feel at times really loved? How many of you ever felt loved? How many of you ever felt hated? How many felt loved and hated at the same time? Amen. How many of you know that sometimes you just can't trust your emotions? Y'all better raise your hand on that one. You cannot trust what you're feeling. My wife teaches all ladies that are having their time of the month. Don't believe anything you feel during that time of the month. She said, you're out of control. Man, my wife's going through menopause right now, and yeah, whew. I pray for all women. Amen. Women, you are amazing, amazing people. That's all I've got to say. Emotions are how you feel. God created you emotional, but there are emotions that God has never felt. God never gave us the emotion of fear. Fear came because of sin. God never feels fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. So because of the fall of man, there are certain emotions that are part of our lives that God never planned, and fear being one of them. The other thing you have is your will. How many of you are just plain stubborn cusses? Amen. Hands are going up. You're just downright stubborn. Don't tell me what to do. I mean, it could even be right. Come on now, you know. You know they're right, but you're still not going to give it. You're not going to give it an inch. You're just, my, who are you staring at? It's funny, being up here, I get to watch people stare at each other. Honestly, though, our wills are amazing. How many of you have made bad choices before? At least one bad choice in your life. Now, I didn't say marriage. I said bad choices. Bad choices. You know why you made a bad choice? Because you chose to. You know that little bumper sticker used to say, the devil made me do it? That is a lie. Every one of us have a choice. That is the will that God has given us. In the garden, the very first sin was done by Eve. And it was before she ate the fruit. Say it again. The very first sin was in the garden with Eve. It was before she ate the fruit. The serpent came, Satan came, and got her to question God's word. That was actually the very first sin. The very first sin was her choosing, willing to disagree with God's word and agree with Lucifer. That will always be one of the first sins that the enemy attacks you with. If God says it, the enemy will always bring question in your heart whether God's word is true or a lie. Every time. So if God says you're healed, but your body says you don't feel healed, are you healed? But this is the thing. Because our bodies say one thing, but God's word says another. So are you in denial? No, I'm in agreement. Your will must be in agreement with the word of God. You must make this determination if you are going to mature in your relationship with Jesus Christ. You're going to be a believer that genuinely live successful. You must make a conscious decision that I believe God's word above my will. I believe God's word above my feelings. I believe God's word above my intellect. God's word is yea and amen. It is either God's word or it's not God's word. This is the crossroads that we all come to in our relationship with the Lord. This is why some people vacillate in their relationship. They struggle in their relationship because they do not have an absolute. Now, your soulish man, which the Bible talks about as another word synonymous for it, is called the flesh. Romans chapter 7, verse 5 and 6 says this. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. Which means when we were living in sin, when we were not saved, our emotions, our soulish man, our fleshly man was so passionate to please itself that it chose to sin. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we're held by, so we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. So it's saying this, now that you're born again, you don't have to sin. Say it again. You can live a sinless life after you're born again. Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, I'm not a sinner anymore. I was a sinner when I was a sinner, but when I got saved, I became a saint, a citizen, a son. I am no longer a sinner because a sinner means a lifestyle. I might be a saint that chooses to sin, but I am not a sinner because I have a new nature. My new nature is found in Peter. Turn there with me real quickly. I'm not sure if I have it ahead of me or not. Look first. Nope. Good. Turn to Peter. That's in the Bible. I'm always confused whether it's 1 Peter or 2 Peter. There we go. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, and it says this. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, as his divine power has given to us all things. Everybody shout all things. Shout all things. How many are all things? Everything. All things that pertain to life and godliness. So everything we need for life and godliness have already, come on now, listen to me, already been provided. You don't have to pray them to be provided. They're already provided, but we have to start agreeing with God's word to receive what's already been provided. I can put a spread of food out for you. I can have it already hot and exactly what you love. I don't know, maybe it's lobster. Maybe it's a tomahawk steak, medium rare, glory be to Jesus, with mashed potatoes and corn on the side with a little bit of gravy for the glory. I don't know, but man, I know one thing. Strawberry shortcake has to be there for dessert with a little ice cream on the side, and the bun's got to be hot with a little butter melted between. I feel Jesus already. Glory to God. And I can have all of that spread before you, but if you never take it, you'll never have it. I've already provided it, but you are praying, oh God, you're over in the corner, God, give me something to eat, give me something to eat. God said, I already provided it for you, it's right there. You got to take it. God's already provided what you need, what you want. You got to take it. All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue. Verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these things we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is through the world through lust. You and I have a new nature. When we were not saved, Ephesians chapter 2, we had the nature of our Father, the prince and the power of the air. But when you got saved, you now have what's called a divine nature. What's divine mean? Godly. A godly nature. How can you have godly nature? Because now God, by his Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet, dwells where? Inside of you. So now you have the ability to live a sinless life if you choose to. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that sin, you are no longer a slave to. You were once a slave to sin, which means it owns you. Told you what to do, when to do, how to do. That's the old nature. But when you got saved, according to Romans chapter 7, you are no longer a slave to sin, but you've been free, and now you're a slave to Christ. What did Christ provide for you? All things that pertain to life and godliness. So now that you're alive in Christ, the challenge is learning how to control you. This is the challenge. Controlling yourself. Well, I don't know. I'm just out of control. You're out of control because you want to be out of control. Our intellect is important. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. Because of the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. The mind is not controlled by God. The mind is either controlled by evil or by God's word. You control your mind. Well, I just can't control what I'm thinking. That's a lie. I don't know who told you that. That's not true. I just can't control my thoughts that are running through. That's a lie. That's not true. How is it not true, Pastor? Because the soul is no longer in control. The Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you is in control. Grampy Al, come on up here. Uncle Harold. Right. Why don't you turn this way? This is the body. Uncle Harold, I want you to get behind him, directly behind him. And then you're directly behind him. That's why I did it that way. I did it in the size. Now, does everybody here have a body? Can you pinch the person next to you to make sure theirs is still working? It worked. Everybody looks at your body and says, well, that's me. No, that's not you. That's the outward manifestation of what's inside of you. When people say, don't judge me, it always makes me chuckle. Because how a person acts, what you see their physical body doing, is showing who's in control of their life. Either your soul is in control, or your spirit is in control. This physical body is not in control of anything. It is only a servant to whomever is controlling. So when a person is not saved, then the soulish man controls everything that the physical body does. So if you stand behind him, take his arms, do whatever you want with him. Don't hurt him. So the soul is making him do whatever he wants him to do. Raise his fist. Cuss at somebody. Get depressed. This physical body is only the outward manifestation of who's actually in control of the life. That's why you can't look at somebody on the outside. The Bible says, don't judge anybody from the outside. Remember when when Samuel went looking for the new king? He went to the oldest brother. And what did God say? Not him. Went to the next, not him. You got any more kids? Well, I got one. He's out in the field, you know, tending the sheep. His name is David. He's a little ruddy guy. Ruddy means he's a little short, redheaded dude. Went out and got David. No one ever thought, man. But God said, I don't look on the exterior. I look at the heart. Why is that? Because the exterior is only the slave to who's in control. So when you say to yourself, I'm just out of control, what you're saying is, I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to run my life. Well, you know, I just can't control myself. I can't control when I get angry. No, you're telling me that the soul, if you're born again, is more powerful than the Holy Spirit. You hear me? So who's in control of your life determines who this outside manifestation is going to show. This is where the rubber meets the road, believer. Amen. This is where the real battle is. Amen. You see, this is how it's supposed to be. You have a physical body. Grampy, I'll step forward a little bit more. Right up here. You have a physical body, and then you have a spirit, and you have a soul. How most people live as a Christian, their soul is behind the body, and the spirit is behind the soul. That is out of order. That means that your intellect, your emotions, and your will are controlling your body, not the Holy Spirit. So there has to be a shift, but this shift cannot happen without understanding. That's why this class is so important. When you understand how you are created, then you can consciously understand why you're doing what you're doing, why you're deciding the way you're deciding, why you're acting the way you're acting, why you're talking the way you're talking. See, what's supposed to happen is the moment you got born again, your spirit man came alive. Who dwells inside of you? The Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet. You become the temple of the Holy Spirit. The plan of God, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That means all these years when you were not born again, you were being governed by your soul because your spirit man was dead. How you felt, what you wanted to do. Don't tell me what to do. I'm not going to be told what to do. You're not going to tell me where to go. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to think however I want to think because I have the right to do that. And you do. For the wages of sin is death. But when you get saved, the order must change. When you get saved, the order must change. When you get saved, the order must change. Well, I don't know. I just don't know. That's the problem. Because the Bible says in Romans 8, your soul is the enemy of God. Why is the soul the enemy of God? Because the soul will not choose to be controlled by God. They're at enmity. There's a fight. Remember, the battle is not with the devil. He's already been defeated. Behave yourselves. The battle is not with the devil. He's already been defeated. The battle is between your soul, intellect, emotions, and will, and the Holy Spirit. Who are you going to submit to? Oh, my. So when you weren't saved, this is how you lived. If you weren't saved, you can sit right down there. Spirit man's dead. Never leaves because everybody's eternal. For the wages of sin is death. But when you got saved, we're in between them. That is the order that is supposed to be. These are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. Where does the Holy Spirit live? Inside of you. The Spirit and the Word always agree. See, the fight is allowing the Holy Spirit to bring the soul into subjection. The soul no longer has the right to think the way he wants to. Amen. The soul no longer, when you get saved, has a right to feel the way he wants to feel. And the soul, when you get saved, no longer has a right to do what he wants to do. He is subjected to the Holy Spirit if you choose him to be. My people perish for lack of knowledge. A lot of people have never heard this before. So the problem is they live their Christianity on accident. Sometimes they start living in victory and then all of a sudden they crash in their sin. How did that happen? I love the Lord. I'll tell you how. You never learned how to bring your soul into subjection to the Holy Spirit. Your physical body should be manifesting the Word of God. Why? Because who is the Holy Spirit? Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet. Who's Jesus? Jesus is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are truth. The Word of God declares that one jot or tittle shall pass away before all things come to fruition. The Bible says that God cannot lie. He said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, here we have the opportunity. We are either going to allow God's Spirit, who dwells inside of our spiritual man, to control us, and therefore our outward actions of our physical man are going to show what God is showing, or we're going to say, you know what, I'm just going to do whatever I want. And all of a sudden, the soulish man steps in front of the Holy Spirit, says, back off, dude, I'm in control. Watch what you just did to the Holy Spirit. You just told the Holy Ghost to go to the background. Come on now. What's this dude doing? Only what who controls tells him to do. That's why you can chuckle the next time somebody says, don't judge me. Because all you have to do is watch this, and you'll see either the soul is in control or the spirit's in control by how he is acting out. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the question is, who's in control? Now I'm going to share something with you. If you're not in the Word, he will never be in control. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All of a sudden, catastrophe happens in your life. And you're not sure how to handle it. So now your soul is handling your life. Man, you're going to be frantic. You're going to be running around like a chicken with its head cut off. You're going to be in fear. You're going to be in torment. You're going to be in depression. You're going to be discouraged. You're going to be losing everything around you. But the Spirit of God is saying, listen, if you let me be in control, I'll keep your mind in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. I am the God that healeth thee. If God healed you, then you are healed. But my physical man is saying I'm not healed. I don't care what he says. I care who he is. And when you start living through him, this has to come in order. Your body, oh, come on, Holy Spirit. Your body must come into order of what the Word says if your spirit is in control. Now I'm talking, sometimes it takes patience. Sometimes your flesh man is a little stubborn. Can I hear an amen? But no matter what, you cannot vacillate from the Word of God. You cannot say, oh my goodness, you know, I'm just discouraged. You know, I don't understand. Where, God, are you? All of a sudden, what you're doing is you're nullifying the Holy Spirit and you're allowing your soulish man to take back over. Now you have no absolutes. So therefore, your emotions are going to take you on an adventure that is torture. Torture. You know your mind can torture you. You go to sleep in peace, and all of a sudden you get up in the middle of the night, and man, you're tortured. That is never God. Your mind has a responsibility to stay under authority. Your will has the responsibility to stay under authority. Your emotions do not have the right to run you. And I'm not saying they're not going to try. The devil appeared to the tree with Eve. But the devil was not the bad guy here. She chose to agree with the soul rather than with the word. That's where the sin lied. The manifestation was eating the fruit. And then Adam loved his wife. She was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And he allowed his emotions, his emotional love for the woman, to be more powerful than for the Lord. And he too ate of the fruit. See, the power of the enemy is only who you subject yourself to. This is your lifelong battle, by the way. If you get this one fixed tomorrow afternoon, let me know. That's why Paul says, I die daily. This is the daily fight with yourself. It's not a fight with the devil. He's already defeated. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I have all authority over the power of the devil. Jesus said, greater work shall you do because I go to the Father. That's not just supernatural, that's living supernatural. So everything we need, all things pertaining to life and godliness, are living inside of you. But if you allow him to control, oh baby, you're going for a ride. You're going for a ride. Yeah, and Darien's the nice place. The ride is harsh. Because once you surrender your thoughts to the enemy, his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. His job is to get you to deny that God's word is true. If he can get you to deny God's word is true, then everything that happens out here is being controlled by right here. But if you choose to allow God to control you, you are a trichotomous being. If you walk in the Spirit, your outward man will manifest the things of God. Now, we've all sinned after we got saved. Is that correct? Has anybody ever sinned once after you got saved? Maybe twice? Maybe an hour ago? No, don't raise your hand. The only reason you or I sinned was because James chapter 1. A thought came. A temptation came. A thought came. The Bible says the thought is not the sin. But if now you start meditating on that thought, you've now told the Holy Spirit to step back because you've chosen to think how you want to think, feel how you want to feel, and do what you want to do. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you walk in the flesh, the Holy Spirit's got to sit down. Ooh, thank you. Ooh. Man, 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 man. The Bible says very clearly, the battle is between your ears, baby. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 6, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty by in God for pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Here it is. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, what else can we say? Jesus, 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 Jesus. You can't trust your thoughts. You only have one absolute, and that's the Word of God. I think I can finish it tonight. I think I finished it tonight. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. No one's telling me what to do. I don't feel like going to church this morning. No one's going to tell me I got to go to church this morning. Really? I think the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself as the matter of some is, especially in the last days. Well, I don't know. I just think that church, all they want is your money. You know, they just want your money. And, you know, I don't feel like I don't have to tithe. I'm not going to tithe. Really? The Bible says, will a man rob God? Well, you know, I don't like to worship. Really, the Bible says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Well, that's just not my personality. That's right. It's no longer you that lives. See, this is where the absolute comes. Is the word your absolute, or are you absolutely against the word? Because if you can't be for the word, all of the word, then what parts do you accept? Just what you like? Try that at work. You're an hour late for work. They come in and they say, you're an hour late for work. Oh, I chose not to obey that rule. You disappear for lunch for 3 hours. You come back into work and they say, where were you? Well, I just sat down by the park. What do you mean you sat down by the park? You only had an hour lunch. Yeah, but I don't like that rule. How long are you going to keep your job? Try it in your marriage. No problem. Your wife comes and says, well, I got a boyfriend. And you go, but you can't have a boyfriend. I'm your husband. Well, I choose not to obey that rule. Your kids look at you and say, I hate you. I'm going to kill you in your sleep. And you look at them and say, but I'm your parent. And you say, the Bible says to, you know, honor your parents. But then your kid looks at you, I don't like that rule. Isn't it amazing? We find that absolutely absurd. But we start talking about spiritual principle. We start talking about the word, and we act just like that. And we can't understand why we can't be consistent. You can only be consistent with absolutes, and the word is absolutely truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Truth. Somebody said to me, what is truth? I'll tell you what is truth. The word is truth. If God said it, I believe it, and it's so. I don't care if my body agrees with it. I don't care if my mind agrees with it. I don't care if the word agrees with it. The world agrees with it. If God said it, it is so. And if I can't say that, then where do you draw the line in absolutes? That's a tough one. So do we write our own Bible and live our own life according to our own Bible that we've penned with our own intellect, our own emotions, and our own will? Or do we submit to the Holy Spirit who dwells in us and agree with God and refuse to do the sin of Eve? Selah. Because what else can you say? For it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. Is he really Lord? Or is he just Savior? I submit to you today that most people want Jesus as their Savior, because no one wants to go to the lake of fire. Who has a brain? If anybody has a brain, even an unregenerated brain doesn't want to go to the lake of fire. But just because you have Jesus as your Savior doesn't mean you've submitted to him as Lord. And God is not a good sharer. I know we teach our kids to be good sharers, but God's not. He's not a good sharer. It's written in the Ten Commandments. There'll be no other gods before me. Period. And the one who raises himself up to be God more than anybody else in our lives is our soul. It's not the devil. He's already whooped. But our soul is striving for control. Who will you submit to when the thoughts start running through your mind? Who will you submit to when those thoughts are contrary to the scripture? Who will you submit to when the doctor says something opposite of what the word says? Who will you submit to when the bank says something different than what the word says? I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. If you're a tither, then God's job is to rebuke the devourer. I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up because I'm a child of God. Come on now, I'm the head and not the tail. Well, I don't know. That's right. Because you choose to believe the world's system more than you believe the word of God. The soul would be in control. And you will lose. Any thoughts or questions? Questions? Thoughts? Who's my runner tonight? No, he's got a runner. I got it right here. Run, child, run. Yes. There really isn't anything to be contrary. Everybody is a living spirit. Everybody and children are innocent. God never damned the innocent. Where is that age of understanding? We don't know. My children understood the gospel at 4. Your kids might not understand till 5 or 6. I don't know, but when they understand, get them saved. My kids were baptized in the Holy Ghost at 4, began to speak with other tongues at 4 years old. I have a video of Sophia praying in tongues at 1. Every child's different. But the one thing you know is, if they're innocent, my father used to work for a mentally handicapped institution. There was a guy named Duck. He walked like a duck, talked like a duck, believed he was a duck. He was 82. When Duck died, he'd go to heaven because Duck didn't have the mindset to accept Jesus Christ as his personal savior. That's innocence. But there does come an age of accountability. You don't have to teach your children to disobey. How many of you realize that? You don't have to teach your children to rebel. How many of you realize that? You didn't have to say, now I want you to learn how to rebel. No, they'll do it for you. When they tell you no, and they know they're telling you no, there's understanding. Very good. Next. Good. If nobody else, rock on, brother.
So I just wanted to share about the three guys standing there. And as you were standing there, I just wanted to share this point that, you know, you kept tossing one to the side, one to the other, one to the side, one up front, one leading, one out, the other one's behind him now. Well, the difference that, to me, the whole difference is this. They're both eating, just like we all eat and we all get healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only thing that spirit eats is the word. If you don't feed the spirit, he is going to be in the background.
Absolutely.
There's no other way to get him up front, but if you don't give him, if you give him the word, well, then the flesh becomes real weak and he just...
Yep.
Yep.
That's a fact. Whatever you feed grows. Whatever you starve dies. That's why if you're just eating Sunday mornings, you're on a death march. Try it in the flesh. Don't eat physical food the amount of days you don't eat spiritual food. See how long you last. You're going to look good. Then you're going to die. Any other questions or thoughts before we close? Yes, in the back. Run, young man! Anybody online? I've got you right here. Anybody online, if you got a question, shoot it out. The Bible says is wisdom in the counsel of many. But it also says in Psalms 1, do not go to the counsel of the ungodly. No, you're not. Not compared to Uncle Harold. A lot of times it comes from the background of spirituality or the household you grew up in of earning. So if you grew up in more of a Catholic background, then you have to earn your way. If you grew up in a home where you had to earn your parents' love, then that will also try to shine through when you're dealing with your relationship with Jesus. This is one of my most fun classes. Because when you get this, you can learn how to live successful on purpose, which means you can repeat it. I like repeating things. Amen? Anybody else? Yes. Hold on, here comes the microphone. Young man, move.
When you backslide.
Yes.
And your spirit man takes over,
Yes. I actually know of a person now who was once serving the Lord that is now demon-possessed. Absolutely. You and I choose our destiny. And we can choose to walk away from God. People say to me, well, you know, my child is a drug dealer. And I know they're saved, but they're not living for the Lord. Well, they're not saved. If you're not living for God, you're not saved. That means your spirit man's not in control. It means the Holy Ghost is sitting down. One guy said, he was a pastor, he actually looked at me, he goes, my sister is a cocaine dealer down in New York City, and when she dies, I know she'll go to heaven. She's just not serving the Lord right now. Well, no, I'm sorry. It's really clear who she's submitted to. And when the Bible says you can become what's called reprobate. Reprobate means that you've gone so far from God that you can no longer tell right from wrong. Found in Romans chapter 1. And I've seen people do that. Hold on, we've got another question. Move, young man, move. That's all right. We got to have a microphone. Well, the reason we do a microphone is all the people watching on live stream can't hear you. It's not about you being loud enough in here. They can't hear you. So therefore, the microphone allows everybody online to hear you. Good.
So that means that even if you were saved for 10 years and then you backslide for the rest of your life,
you're going to hell. If you backslide and you don't get right with God, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will be drawing you. The Holy Spirit will be wooing you. Now, we don't know where that line of backsliding is. We don't know where that line is, but I've always chosen to stay away from that line because I don't know where it is and I don't want to get close to it. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your body, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself is the first and fulfill all the laws and the prophet. So it's important that but the mic isn't working. I'm sorry, Michelle said. The statement was, if I served God for 10 years and backslid and walked away from the Lord and never got right with God, would I go to hell? And the answer is yes. He wants to draw you back. He's trying to draw you back. He's trying to get you back in a relationship with him. But if you choose not to, then it's your conscious, willful choice to pay for your own sin. Anybody else? Anybody online? Pastor Treadway, how are you, sir? One of our pastors from Kentucky. We love you, Pastor Treadway. I'm glad. Looking forward to seeing you this coming week. Yes, we can't hear them even with the mic. I did just say their question. So when we do the mic, does anybody else have a question? You use this microphone. Anybody else have a question? Yes, hold on.
Revelation, it talks about the churches that God said he had something against.
Yes.
And it comes to a point where it says if you're not hot or you're not cold, it'll strew you out of his mouth.
Yep.
If people don't stay committed to the Lord, wouldn't that sort of take place also?
Absolutely. It's called the Church of Laodicea. He said, I have somewhat against you. You're neither hot nor cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to projectile vomit you out of my mouth. That's the actual word, projectile vomit. Now, the last time I saw someone projectile vomit, what was in their stomach no longer was in their stomach. It was across the room. He also said in Revelation chapter 2 to the church of Ephesus, I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. You can't lose your first love. You left your first love. So therefore, be zealous therefore, and repent. If you do not repent, then I'll remove your candlestick. Candlestick represents eternity. Questions. So living for Jesus, that's why he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The fear of the Lord, I believe, is one of the greatest things missing in the body of Christ. We must fear God. And some people say, well, you know, I don't want to be afraid of him, but there is a genuine godly fear. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. You should be afraid to sin. Ananias and Sapphira were not, and they dropped dead. If we had a few Ananias and Sapphira experiences in the church these days, things would change. We would live differently. All of a sudden, someone comes up, is living in sin, chooses to live in sin. They turn around and go, I'm living in sin. Boom, they drop dead. I would choose not to live in sin. That altar call would be very huge. The wages of sin is death. It's not a joke. It's not a cliche. It's not a religious statement. It is a reality. Adam and Eve, God said, don't touch this or you shall surely die. They didn't die physically. They died spiritually, which means eternity. If it wasn't for the blood of the animal that died, that innocent animal that died, their sins wouldn't have been covered. And if it wasn't for the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the earth, then their sins would never have been washed away. That's why Jesus had to be sinless. Because innocence dies for guilt. Amen. Let's all stand. Thank you for watching online. I want to encourage you, as we do with everything, and that is, you never come to the King's house without a gift. I want to encourage you to be a giver. If you haven't tithed, it's a great night to tithe. And I want to remind you to stay tight with God. Amen. Well, you know, Pastor, I just don't believe in that giving stuff. Well, I'm sorry. Then you can't believe in salvation either. It's in the same Bible. Can't take what you like. Live it all. Say amen. Or oh my. It doesn't matter if you say oh my. Just live it all. Amen. Father, I just speak blessing over your house, blessing over your people. God, we want to live for you. Holy Spirit, you live in us. Teach us, teach us, teach us. Convict us. We ask that you convict us when we allow our soul to get more control. Oh, Holy Ghost, give us the power when thoughts start rushing through our minds that are contrary to the scripture. Oh, Holy Spirit, teach us, train us, convict us, realign us, empower us. Give us that grace to overcome. Greater is he that's in us. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you're going to help us to walk in the ways of God, that we will please him, that he will say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And Holy Ghost, that we will not just walk for a short period of time, but that as Paul said, we will run this race and we will win. We will finish this race. God, I don't want to get to the 11th hour and walk away. I don't want to be shipwrecked, even though I helped other people build the ship. I want to go all the way with, all the way with you. That's right. Someone watching right now by live stream, the Holy Spirit is speaking directly to you right now. You have gone shipwrecked in your walk with God. You have made a choice in your mind, and you know it's in your mind because you've justified it. You justified it that time you were sitting on the couch. You looked, you saw, you understood what you were saying, and you tried to convince yourself. And it wasn't that time that you convinced yourself because the struggle of the Spirit was still happening in your life. But then even in your time of prayer, you kept speaking it over and over, which is contrary to the word. And you've actually convinced yourself, and the Spirit of God is saying to you tonight, if you will repent, then I'll restore you. If you do not, you will go reprobate. Choose this day whom you will serve. Father, I thank you that tonight you care enough about us to restore us. And God, I thank you that tonight you're blessing us by allowing us to be in your presence, allowing us to hear your holy word, and we choose to live for you all the rest of our days. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives through me. In Jesus' name, amen.